it is not all about Gene Robinson. I will do everything I can not to make that the case. I don't want to be a distraction.
That, of course, is Bishop Gene Robinson of the Episcopal Church USA. He is the bishop of New Hampshire, the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA. That is old news. What's new news is that Gene Robinson was in attendance in Canterbury, England, at the Lambeth Conference without being invited to the Lambeth Conference. We're going to be talking here in just a few minutes with Bishop Keith Ackerman about Lambeth and about Gene Robinson's conspicuous attendance or non-attendance there. Wesley Smith will be our guest in the second part of the program today. We're going to talk about that new TV ad you may have seen from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Two parents sit down with their daughter to encourage her to have sex. It's supposed to have something to do with spaying and neutering your pets. We'll see what Wesley Smith has to say about that. He's writing a book about PETA. And then we'll talk about jihad. Everyone's concerned about whether or not that term is properly defined in politics and in the press. We'll find out what it does mean. Dr. Adam Francisco will be our guest in the last part of Issues, Etc. today. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. Our toll-free number live this Friday, the 18th of July, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Earlier today, we talked with Bishop Keith Ackerman of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois. He's also president of an Anglican Reform group called Forward in Faith North America. He is in Canterbury for the Lambeth Conference. I began by asking him what he thought about Gene Robinson being in Canterbury for his honeymoon, but not attending Lambeth.
Well, it seems that if one wants a little more media attention, the best thing to do is not to be invited to Lambeth and then go anyway and set up shop right outside, because he is not officially engaged in anything. But because of the fact that he is in the area and is making a number of appearances, that's catching some of the media attention. Of course, the other thing is not much has happened yet that is going to make it onto the news, so it would appear that he's taking advantage of the lull right now.
Well, I guess that was my next question, is there any news coming out of Lambeth yet?
Well, it appears that there are a number of gatherings of an impromptu or ad hoc nature, but by and large, these last few days, which will conclude tomorrow at noon, have been for retreat purposes right at Canterbury Cathedral. And the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, has been leading meditations. He has done three meditations thus far and a fourth one tomorrow that will conclude around noon. And then after that, it appears that Lambeth Conference will go into high gear.
Have there been any issues surrounding communion fellowship? I know that at previous meetings, not Lambeth, but previous meetings of bishops and archbishops, there have been some problems with the Eucharist and the fellowship that's being practiced there among the bishops.
Well, certainly, as we have discussed before, and you pointed out, Todd, there are a number of bishops who simply are not here. They have indicated in good conscience they can't even come. And each day, somebody leads prayers for those who have chosen not to come to Lambeth. They're mentioned not by name, but by category. And it's done in a non-judgmental way, but nonetheless, I think we're all acutely aware of the fact that we don't have Uganda, we don't have Nigeria, we don't have Sydney, Australia, and others. But certainly, Nigeria is the largest province in the Anglican Communion. So that becomes obvious. So the next point, your question about Eucharistic fellowship, it is true that there are some here who have made it clear that they will not be receiving communion. And there are some who won't receive communion no matter who's celebrating just because they believe that the Anglican communion is in a state of impaired or broken communion. But there are also some who will not receive communion depending if it's a particular celebrant. For example, if anyone participated in the consecration of Gene Robinson and they were to celebrate, there would be a sizable number who would not receive.
Have you seen Bishop Robinson?
Not at all. I've not seen him. I have certainly heard American bishops talking about him, and I'm aware of the fact that there are a number of bishops in the Episcopal Church who have decided that they are going to host several receptions for him. And I've seen that even in the official schedule that has been put out, there's recognition that there is something called fringe groups or fringe meetings, and he's included in a couple of the fringe meetings.
So even though he's not officially there, he's there.
He is there.
I'm wondering how much discussion there's been about the recent move in the Church of England, in particular, to permit the consecration of female bishops.
Well, that's been rather prominent. On one hand, I've spoken with a number of English bishops who are simply devastated, and already reading in the newspapers here talk about a significant move of Church of England people into the Roman Catholic Church, for example. And so that's in the minds of people. But the thing that I picked up today from the English bishops is it was not so much the action that will not protect traditionally minded Anglicans that has concerned them as much as how spiteful and negative the debate was from the left. In other words, as one bishop said, he finds it amazing that for those who are always seeking justice and the dignity of personhood, that does not seem to apply to those who maintain an orthodox position.
Are you hearing the same arguments being made, say, from the Episcopal Church USA, for the consecration of openly gay bishops or the ordination of openly gay clergy, as you are hearing there in the Church of England for the consecration of female bishops or the ordination of female clergy?
Well, yes, I am. That's interesting that you would ask the question that way, because I believe that it's a sociological reality that is being debated. It would appear that while I am certainly here with bishops who speak at least five languages, many of whom have earned doctorates, those are the African bishops, by the way, it is interesting how theology tends to be a second or third language for a number of Western bishops. It would appear that psychosociological terms tend to be paramount. And in thinking in that particular way and not thinking in biblical and theological ways, it means that we can take a variety of issues that are theologically different and we can put them into the category of having sociological significance. So I think that two of the principles that concern me oftentimes when I'm talking with Western Christians is an inherent racism that seems to exist among a number of Western people. And the second thing is ethnocentrism, whereby there are a number of Western Christians who not only think that they are intellectually superior, but culturally superior to a number of people in the global South. When, as I've indicated, in the global South, the educational level among the clergy is significantly higher, and the biblical knowledge is obviously higher.
What do you think the result of Lambeth will be this time around?
Well, I think that it will, to a large extent, depend upon the province, and it'll depend upon the individuals receiving it. If it goes the way the American Church wants it, then it'll be a wonderful Lambeth conference. If it doesn't go the way the American Church wants it, then it has no authority. That is to say, there is a somewhat narcissistic view about major conferences anymore, and that is the ones that meet my needs are the ones that are historical. The ones that don't meet my needs are the ones that need to be ignored. So in the final analysis, I think the Anglican Communion, after Lambeth Conference, will be looking at the conference and saying, did it speak with authority, and if so, did it keep us together? What we could wind up dealing with is a number of loosely knit provinces rather than a worldwide communion, which would be tragic given the circumstances that have always existed with the Anglican Communion in terms of its prominence in ministering to the needs of people throughout the world.
Bishop Keith Ackerman is Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese in Quincy, Illinois, President of an Anglican Reform group called Forward in Faith North America. He joins us from Canterbury at the Lambeth Conference. Thank you so much for your precious time here, Bishop, and thank you for being our guest.
It's a pleasure, and I continue to seek your prayers and the prayers of those listening. Thank you so much.
And you have them. Well, he said there at the end of the interview, he talked about whether or not Lambeth, this great conference of church leaders, would speak with authority. You know, they can make all the decisions they want to. They can decide this, decide that. But when the church speaks with authority, it has only one authority. It's not human authority. Although many seem to believe it is a human authority. The only authority the church has to speak, whether it be your pastor or your denomination, the only authority your church has to speak is the authority of God's Word. And when your church doesn't speak in accordance with God's Word, when it doesn't echo back what God's Word clearly teaches, it is not speaking with any authority whatsoever. You can find out more about the Anglican Reform Group that Bishop Keith Ackerman is a part of at forwardinfaith.com, forwardinfaith.com. When we come back, we'll talk with Wesley Smith about a new ad from the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA. Parents, you might want to pull your children away from the radio. The ad is pretty graphic. I'm more concerned, honestly, about its philosophical views. We'll find out more about that after this. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.